want to ask one question as we begin. How free are you? How free are you? In the grand scheme of life, in the grand scheme of how our lives work out on a daily basis, how much freedom do we have the privilege of exercising? In light of the fact that you didn't choose the place of your birth, the color of your skin, your age classification, whether baby boomer, millennial, Gen Xer, what is the new one? What's the newest one? I generation? Yeah. I'm like, millennial is terrible. No one likes a millennial. Every news report you hear is negative towards millennials, right? They don't work, they're lazy. You know, if we could just get rid of the millennials, we'd solve all our nation's problems, basically is what they say. Well, I didn't choose being a millennial, okay? It was chosen for me. But as Americans, freedom means a lot to us. Freedom was also important to Adam and Eve. It was so important to them that they strived and they desired to rid themselves of the shackles of humanity in order to be like God, right? Satan tempted them and said, listen, if you eat of this tree, which was the only rule God gave them, by the way, right? Don't eat from this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and everything will be fine and you can live in paradise for as long as you want. And they said, well, that's not quite good enough. We want to be free and we want to do what we want to do. How many of us could keep that rule? Raise your hand. I asked this to the youth group and half of them raised their hand. So if that gives you hope or willingness to go share the gospel with your kids, by all means. On a daily basis, we prove to ourselves that we can't keep this rule, right? Because we continue to sin. Right, if we thought we could keep that rule, then obviously we would grow in our humanity to the point where we could keep God's commands, and yet we still continue to sin. And this is the story of sin and our desire to rule over ourselves. But praise God, He has a better plan. Right, that is our hope, that He always has a better plan than ours, which we will see from our text this evening. And I want us to read our text this evening. It's Psalm 68. I think it's on your handout. Verse 18. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train, and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. Yeah, Psalm 68 is believed to be a hymn composed to remind Israel of the overarching story of God's faithfulness to them. So it's the culmination of His promise to deliver them to the promised land and to place His presence among them there. So it's kind of the picture of the Ark of the Covenant moving and God placing His presence among His people in the Promised Land, right? So God had given His law to His people in Mount Sinai, and in verse 18 we see the description of the trek of Mount Zion with the Ark of the Covenant, signifying the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel. In our passage this morning, Paul reveals to us the ultimate fulfillment of this text, which is in Christ who ascended to the Father and sits at His right hand. And in Psalm 68, 18, David speaks of God leading a host of His enemy captives up to Mount Zion. And in Paul's letter, which we heard this morning, we find that those enemies are us. Those enemies are us. We are the rebellious ones, quoted in this, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. We are the rebellious ones. We want what we want and not what God wants. But praise God that in Christ we are ultimately freed from the prison of worshiping ourselves and have been granted the right to worship our Creator. We have been given our future paradise, the one the world is trying to establish here on earth, but that can only be found in the presence of God. It can only be found in the presence of God. And tonight I want us to meditate on one word from our text, and that word is captives. One word, captives. So captives usually has a negative connotation, right? But I want you to remember one main point, and that is true freedom is found in being a captive of Jesus Christ. True freedom is found in being a captive of Jesus Christ. And in order to help us to think about captivity, there are three truths about captivity I want us to think about this evening. Number one, the captive is dependent on the captor. The captive is dependent on the captor. So we might boast in our political independence, but we are very dependent people. We depend on our parents to bring us into this world. for the freedom, or for them to feed us and clothe us. And then when the teenage years hit, what happens? We tend to forget all of it, right? We tend to think we don't need them anymore until we need a ride to the movies, or we need money to pay for the movies, or we need money for the ride to go to the movies, right? And then all of a sudden, they're our best friend, and we'll do whatever chore we need to do in order to have our own personal fulfillment. But this relationship dynamic is even more extreme in how we treat God. We are dependent on God for everything, every breath we take, every heartbeat. Yet when it comes to worship, we would rather choose someone or something else. No one is independent. We are either captive to sin, or we are a captive to Christ. We are either a captive to sin, or we are a captive to Christ. In what ways are you refusing to acknowledge your dependence on God this evening? It could be the small pockets of your life that we say we depend on Him in our relationships and our finances and our marriages, but yet practically we don't. And you know how we practically don't? We don't go to God's Word and consider His counsel, right? We'll consider the counsel of a blog or a self-help book before we go to God's Word, and that's like the last-ditch effort. Right, to go to God's Word and find out how we are to be dependent on Him and how the instruction that He gives us. The ultimate question this evening is, are you depending on Christ and His work on the cross for salvation? Are you depending on Christ for salvation? If you're here this evening and you don't consider yourself a Christian, the best news we could possibly tell you is the best news that has ever been news, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God is perfect in every way, shape, and form. He created a perfect world, and He put man in the garden, and they had everything they could ever want. It was paradise. It is the vision from every movie you've ever seen, right? The oasis in the desert, right? It's everything we could ever want, and yet man chose to sin. They chose to do what God asked them not to do. They fell victim to the temptation of Satan, and they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And sin entered the world, and so did death and destruction, and ticks, and chiggers, and microphones, and all the things that we loathe in life. But God, in His goodness, had a different plan, right? And He sent Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that had to be made for sin, who was holy and blameless. He was His Son, and yet He was man. And He was here on this earth, and He experienced every temptation that we experience. And He remained sinless. And then He died on the cross for our sins, paying the penalty that we deserve for our salvation. And if that doesn't choke you up, then you should read it again sometime and remind yourself of the gospel of Jesus Christ, even as a believer, every day. And if we repent of our sin and we trust in Him for salvation, we will be saved. And that is the hope that we have. We repent, we turn from our sin, and we trust in Him for salvation. And if you're here this evening and you don't believe the gospel, or you haven't believed the gospel, you don't consider yourself a Christian, we'd love to talk to you about that. Any of us in this room would love to talk to you about that. That is why we're here. And we'd love to talk to you about the gospel. And that leads us to point number two. So in this act of repenting and trusting in Christ, we are submitting to Him. So number two, the captive submits to the captor. The captive submits to the captor. Being a captive of Christ does not carry the negative connotation that being a captive to a tyrant or a pirate might bring, right? So our ship's been hijacked, and now they're going to haul us off and put us in a cage. It's not the same thing. We tend to think of captivity as a bad thing. But this type of captivity in Christ is the kind that we are ultimately looking for. Each one of us desires to find our purpose here on earth. We want what will bring us the most joy, the most assurance, the most pleasure, and ultimately eternal life with no pain. And we'll try every pill and every self-help book and every therapist until we find it. When in light of the gospel, that is the source of what we're looking for. Being captive to Christ is what we're looking for. We long for the Disney ending to live happily ever after, and that is eternity in God's presence, right? That is what we're looking for. Satan lies to us and tells us that we can escape our mortality by being like God and submitting to no one but ourselves. But we are either a captive to our own sin, submitting our wants and desires, or we are a captive to Christ, submitting to His wants and His desires. The beauty is that once we have salvation in Christ, we desire to submit to Him. But it's still not easy. The desire will not come without a fight. We are at war with ourselves. But in our text this morning, we find that Christ has given us the Holy Spirit, who is continuously pointing us back to Christ through His Word. Through His Word. So a lot of times we want to seek the Holy Spirit, but we don't want to seek His Word. So we aimlessly wander about and say, "Lord, send me a sign." He's like, "Well, I sent it to you." Right? And we still wander and wander and wander. As a believer, reading the Bible is a supernatural act. God is molding us and shaping us through His Word. And I want you to ask yourself this evening, are you submitting to God by reading His Word? Reading the Bible might seem daunting to you. It is a big book, right? And we are not a reading culture. We want it to be in a screen form. And you can find that. But but God wants us to read and spend time in His Word and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. So Carolyn and I have three small children, and life is crazy right now. But we've chosen to set a time in the morning to read the Bible together. And how much of the Bible do we read together? We read the sermon text every day that we can meet throughout the week before Sunday. Amen. That's right. Because we don't know how long we'll have before a blowout happens or someone comes screaming out of their room, bloody or tears or whatever it might be. But we know we can probably get the sermon text in and we can meditate on it. So hopefully that's not the only scripture reading we're doing, but at least we've got scripture reading covered and meditation on God's Word together. So however, you know, you want to do it, as we gather together for lunches, open God's Word together. It's a great opportunity. Oftentimes we gather like, and we talk about various things, but we never talk about God's Word. So how are we calling ourselves Christians if we're not talking with each other about God's Word? The goal is not to make this the only time that we read with Carolyn and I, but it is to have some time, right? It is a supernatural act to read God's Word, so just do it. No matter how many pages you get through, just do it. Submission to God's Word also entails listening to God's Word preached, right? So listening to God's Word preached. How do we do that, and where do we do that? It is the local church. And that leads us to our third and final point. A captive belongs to a new kingdom. A captive belongs to a new kingdom. When someone takes a group of people captive, where do they go? Probably wherever the captor lives, right? Like, I'm taking you into my kingdom. Well, that's what God has done for us. He's gone on high, and we are waiting that day when we are reunited with Him. So praise God that the word in our text is captors, plural, right? We're not saved to a kingdom of ourselves. We're saved to a kingdom that is plural. God does not save us and bring us into our own kingdom, but into His kingdom, which is represented on earth by the local church. So in our Old Testament passage, God is dwelling amongst a specific people group in a specific place. But praise God that this passage is ultimately fulfilled at Pentecost, and He now resides in us through the Holy Spirit. So what is the purpose of this kingdom? It is God's glory. How do we glorify God? By gathering with the body of Christ and worshiping Him as one body, which we spoke of this morning. So yes, we all look different. We all have different types of toothpaste, right? We all have different preferences. We all have different favorite meals. But what is the one thing that we gather around? And this is what I stress to teenagers all the time. It's the gospel. That's it. The one thing. The color of the carpet doesn't matter. We have casino carpet in the youth room. You know, the carpet in here, whatever else your preference might be for a church, the gospel is what matters. So you can have the greatest program, you have the greatest missions department, greatest music in the world, but if you miss the gospel, there's no point to any of it. And it's just a community group. It's just a club. That is why we gather. The goal and the purpose of the church is corporate, not individual. God saved who? Even the rebellious. He brings us from our condition of wanting nothing to do with Him to gathering with the body of Christ, which has everything to do with Him. God is the unifying King of His kingdom, and the gospel is His good news that brings us together. We are not our own. We were made for God's glory, and we are to encourage one another to glorify God more each day. His third point has everything to do with the first two. The church is the establishment created by God for us to carry out our obedience. Our dependence on God is reflected in our dependence on the local church. That means that our dependence on the local church and our dependence on God are one and the same, right? Very few people in evangelical culture have that mentality. I can go be dependent on God, and I'll sprinkle it with a little church. But that is not how we see the church in Scripture. That means that our dependence on the local church and our dependence on God are one and the same. If God created the church as the local outpost of his kingdom and has commanded us to gather with her, we must not neglect that command. God also demands our submission through the local church. So many of us have confused this with a need to separate ourselves completely in dedication to God through a convent or a monastery, but the glory of God is the local gathering. It is the local gathering, submitting to one another while remaining in our community and submitting to God by remaining in our community. So I want to ask this evening, how are you identifying and devoting yourself to God's kingdom? Do you enjoy and cherish the gathering of God's people, or is it a chore that takes away time from your personal life? Church attendance was on one of those offering cards when I was a kid. You remember the offering cards? Did you bring your Bible? How many people did you invite? And they'd read that number off in the service. We had 14 people bring their Bible and 75 invitations and so many here. And then we would report those numbers on. But when I was growing up, church attendance was basically because my mom drugged me there, right? But this is the opportunity to gather with our family, our eternal family, and one that has been on display in this local body that I've noticed since we've been here, which has been 2 years, and it's been an absolute joy to be here and to be a part of this family. So before we repent and believe in Christ for salvation, we have nothing but our personal kingdom, a kingdom that leaves us wanting, a gathering of one that doesn't keep its promises. But in Christ, brothers and sisters, we have this local gathering where we can pour into one another, encouraging each other in the love of Christ, depend on him more fully, and submit ourselves to his will and plan for our lives. Our captivity to Christ is one that we willingly submit to, and our captor has proven himself to be the kindest, most merciful, most gracious Lord and Father. So let's relinquish our dependence on the sins of the world and on its false promises, and more fully submit to Christ through our bond with one another as University Baptist Church for the glory of God alone. Let's pray.